Hi, I'm Dr. Sophia, email marketing strategist and educator, and I am committed to making email marketing simple and profitable for you. Through my online email marketing school, Sophia Learning Hall, you can find the link in the show notes. Fun fact, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist resident in training. Yes, I'm an actual practicing medical doctor. Email marketing experiments was born out of the desire to share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Simply put, what we've tried, not just me, but me and every guest I bring on the show, what we've tried that has worked or didn't work. So instead of just thinking it and testing it, we're committed to also sharing the BTS with you on this podcast. Come join us behind the scenes. And one more thing, as you listen, if you're a freelancer, service provider, or business owner, go ahead and check the show notes for the gift I kept for you. You'll find it under the title Gift. Now let's go behind the scenes.
I love it. Now, what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start email marketing today, right? If you were to give this person one piece of advice, what would it be?
Okay, my advice is kind of twofold, but it's to not build your list with freebies. If I could give advice, I would say, like, if you can, just try to make your email list itself the thing that people are signing up for. And if you can start with that foundation, I think it's really going to help in the long run, just because you're building from the start with people who like are excited to be there and hear from you. And I know that it can be hard sometimes when you're starting an email list and you have like five people on your list and it feels like you put all this effort in to writing a newsletter and to five people. And then maybe the next week you have 10 people on your list and you're like, I just put all this effort into this newsletter and now half of my list has never seen it. So my follow-up tip to that would be when you're starting your email list and you don't have a ton of people on it, I would think about creating a sequence that people can join. Even if you just add your new newsletters onto the end of it, maybe it's like a 2 month long sequence when you're building your list. So that way all the work you're doing doesn't feel like it's going to waste, so that you're not like, I can write a newsletter. I can write eight newsletters. And everyone that joins my list for the next 3 months is going to get those same eight newsletters in the same order, you know, once a week, something like that. So I think it can kind of help encourage people to take action, because I think it's sometimes daunting and it feels like a lot of work for not a lot of return when you're first starting out.
Jackie, any final words, anything that you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
I would say start playing with AI today if you haven't already. If you haven't started, you're already behind the rest of us that have. So make it a priority, set aside, I don't know, like an hour a week to just play around with the tools, see which ones you like, and then start learning. It's very important.
So if you could give one deliverability tip to a new email marketer, what would it be?
Okay. So one deliverability tip that I would give is, don't forget to give people the chance to unsubscribe from your list, right? A lot of brands forget that. They don't put the unsubscribe link in the, that's a crime right now. So don't forget to give people the chance to unsubscribe from your list in every single email that I sent out. Put that unsubscribe button at the end, or that one-liner message, leave it there. Make sure that it's in all of your templates. Leave it there so that I don't forget, because that particular thing has landed some people in spam, right? And it can just ruin your event.
And it's not just that you put the unsubscribe link, it's also the fact that you test that the unsubscribe link is working.
It's working.
Because sometimes when we try to edit, play around with designs for them to remain on brand, because this is who they are, So they may be sending text-based emails, but you have to do modifications to the templates. It may not be up to like what you have for e-commerce. But anyway, as long as you're playing around with the arrangement of the emails. So you may change things from the default that was there. And you need to be sure that it's working. So sometimes I even want to like change the messaging and make it a bit humorous in terms of like the unsubscribe part. You need to be sure that the short code for that unsubscribe or the link, whatever it is the correct one after you have played around. If not, you might just have somebody emailing you to say your unsubscribe button is not working.
Yeah.
And then and if I somebody could, if one person could email you, imagine how many other people would have reported you as spam. Because you wouldn't because let them
according
get
according to them, list. You don't want them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's such a good one. I'm just wondering, you use ChatGPT to help with your emails. How do you ensure that you maintain your brand voice and tone, even though you're getting help with, you know, ChatGPT?
For sure. That's really important to me because if you listen to my podcast and then you go to my email list and we sound totally different, that's not good, right? So that is a really important thing. That's why I make sure I read it all and I edit it. But also I kind of work with ChatGPT and I take the time to say, make it sound like me. And when it throws things out like, you know, coffee and leggings, I'll say, nope, let's remember, I don't drink coffee, but I love an iced mocha. Or I don't wear leggings, but I love sweatpants, baggy sweatpants. So I take the time to tell ChatGPT that kind of stuff about me. And I don't think we think about that, but it's very intelligent and like will almost recalibrate when you say, that doesn't sound like me. I'm more friendly. I'm a millennial. I, you know, give it some of those personality pieces and you'll be surprised at what it does for you when you take the time. And one thing I love to ask it is say, I'll type and I'll say, I'm ready to write a show title and show notes or an email. I'm ready to write an email about my podcast. What do you need to know from me to do a really great job with this? And it'll send you like four questions. And if you just answer the four questions, you're going to get a lot better information back and a starting point. Like I use it as a starting point. I don't want anyone to use it as like their end line because I think you're going to lose your voice and your style if you do that. But it's a great place to start and it speeds things up so much, especially when we're busy entrepreneurs short on time.
Definitely. So if you could leave our listeners, I think you've already given us so many pieces of advice, but if you could leave them with just one final piece of advice about experimenting with email marketing, what would it be?
Have fun and don't get caught up on the results. At the end of the day, marketing is about testing and you can't do that if you're going to get annoyed if something doesn't work.
Now, when writing subject lines that get open, what's your best tip that you want to give to somebody to ensure they write a subject line that actually gets open?
The first thing I'm going to say is stop paying attention to subject lines, because when a subject line makes me open, or let's say I get a notification on my phone, I see a subject line, I go up to open, I'm like, why did I open this? Like, what did this trigger in my head? And that's the answer. That's the tip that I want to give you. Like, so how I do my stuff is I write the whole email first, then I come up with a subject line. Other times I write the subject line, write the whole email, then I go back to subject. But after writing the whole email anyway, I look at the subject line and I'm like, what's this? Is this triggering something? Is this making me want to open? So there are different techniques that they say about subject line, you know, drive curiosity. It could be urgency. It could be like a fact, like making a fact or making a claim about something. But if you are making a fact, for example, that's fact that you are making. Is it making people want to be like, ah, do I agree with this fact or not? Let me go and read what this person is going to say. So sometimes a combination of everything. That's why I said that. It's all about asking, what does it do to you? What does this subject line do to you? So if I see a subject line, most of my subject line are based on my personality. So when my team writes a subject line, I'm looking at it. subject line will not make me open any email. So I'm like, subject line will not also. And most often than not, I've been correct. Yeah, so that's it for me. I always ask, does this trigger me to want to open this?
I love it because I feel like that's the question you have to ask. Does this make me want to open? Does this make me want to click? Is this interesting enough to make me read it? I love the fact that you ask questions at every point. Everything, you're taking feedback, you're implementing, you're running with it. That's so powerful because some people think it's just about doing and then they stop there.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can also go a step further to optimize by getting feedback and then using that to evolve, that's so powerful. And it's something that I want our listeners to take note of.
For our listeners, if there is anything I think I want you to take out of this, is number one, the fact that there will always be a lot of strategies, but until you apply them before you see the results. Now, Nicolette, you know, saw this strategy and she tried it out. And that's how she's here, you know, today to tell you about this result. So if you listen to this and it ends up listening, then you don't get to see the results that she's talking about, because you can do it and even give it your own spin. Now, in implementing this strategy, right, you need to take into consideration the things that she has said so that you don't just, you know, try to do it because Nicolette said, but you do it so you do it properly. And I think one of the biggest things that stood out for me in the whole strategy was the real authenticity, real scarcity, real urgency. So authentic urgency. So instead of saying 5 hours data and then, you know, 5 hours reporting and then like, oh, 5 hours again and all of that, people stop taking you seriously, right? You give it and you run with it and what it is that you are doing. So I think the biggest thing I want our listeners to take away from this is not just hearing strategy, but it's the fact that they need to be able to implement it as well, try it out. So they too can have stories to share and, you know, see results of what people marketing can do.
Hi, Dr. Safaya here. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Email Marketing Experiment. I'm going to ask you a favor. Please leave a rating and a comment on this podcast. It goes a long way to help increase visibility for our podcast so that we can reach even more people. Till next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiment. Think it, test it, and share it.